For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. If you think string quartets are quaint relics of the past, as antiquated as powdered wigs and royal patronage, then maybe you don't know Jack, the Jack String Quartet. The Brooklyn-based group has gained an international reputation for its commitment to the performance of new music, and will be making its Spoleto Festival USA debut this year. John Pickford Richards, quartet violist, and Chris Otto, quartet violinist, are here to share with me a little bit about the group and its involvement in this year's festival. Thanks to both of you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
John, maybe we'll start with you. How did this quartet get its name?
Well, the founding members of the quartet met while we were in school at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, and we were just four friends having a good time, and the cellist made the joke that if we used the first initials of our first names, it would be called Jack as an acronym. And then a while later, when we decided to join as a quartet for real, we just couldn't get away from the name. And since then, the membership has changed, although now it's JJAC, which is still sort of Jack.
So when you were first forming, you started out with this mission to promote new music.
Yeah, that was pretty much our focus from the beginning. That's what brought us together, is our shared interest in contemporary music. And as students, we worked a lot with student composers and faculty, and there was a student-run new music ensemble. And so we were all really excited about that. And it seemed like there was so much great new repertoire out there that wasn't really getting played much in the U.S., at least. So especially starting out, we did a lot of pieces like by composers that weren't being played here.
So did this perception of underrecognized music, did that speak to you as something worthy of needing more attention, or did this music itself just really draw you in?
Yeah, it was both. Like, I was, of course, like, the love of the music itself was, like, our main motivation, but we also found, somewhat surprisingly, there was a lot of people that were eager to hear this music that weren't hearing it. And so there seemed to be, yeah, a good audience for it, and people responded to it.
Would you say there are any misconceptions among those who haven't responded well to it toward this new music? And if so, aside from your playing, what would you say to help take away some of the skepticism to get people more excited about this new music?
Well, I think that a lot of people listening to music have expectations for what the music's going to be. Maybe it's a familiar style, or they just want to enjoy themselves or have an emotional response. And I find that it's helpful for me to approach music more like the way I approach visual art, which is that sometimes art is totally abstract or cold or minimal or full of expression and like virtuosic technique on the part of the artist. All those different qualities of art I can appreciate so clearly in a museum, and I find if I apply that same logic to a concert hall, then the pressure is off me as a listener to enjoy it and be entertained by it. Rather, I can just appreciate it and be curious about it, knowing that it's going to be over shortly.
John, you were talking about different styles of art or different appearances on a canvas. Would you say that new music is similar in that it's not this monolithic entity, but rather there are all these different trends and forces at work within new music itself?
There are so many trends, and it's really amazing how many styles we, just as a string quartet, which is an old, an old model, we can still explore and find completely upside down styles of music writing that we've never encountered before. We pursue a lot of what we call contemporary classics, sort of what we consider to be masterpieces of the last 50 years. But we also really pursue a lot of music by younger, emerging, living composers. And they're the ones who are really sort of driving this experimentalism to redefine what an acoustic string quartet can become.
How outlandish or, say, unexpected do some of these new pieces, especially experimental pieces, how outlandish can they get? Any examples from things you've worked on?
Well, we've done a number of pieces that either don't use our instruments at all or only in completely unconventional ways. You know, a piece that used some kind of aircraft wire tied to a board and that we all bowed it, and I even bow a bow itself. And it's all amplified, and we created this 20-minute beautiful sounds, explored all the different sounds that we could make out of it as an ensemble. And it's still, you know, we still think of it, we think of ourselves as a quartet, but it's not even limited to the instruments themselves. But yeah, we do all kinds of things to the instruments. Sometimes we need extra instruments so we can deconstruct them or put objects on them, bow them with, you know, metal bars or, you know, chains and things like that.
I think there was one time when we were tied up to half-empty milk jugs. They were tied to our arms and hands so that when we moved our arms and we used vibrato, it would, like, slosh the milk inside the jugs. And then that was amplified. And we also had, like, athletic elastic bands that were mic'd. So as we pulled the bands with our arm motions, that you would hear this additional strange sound.
Yeah, and we were trying to play a Schumann quartet, and the idea was that it was called an obstruction study, and there were various obstructions that were kind of getting in our way of playing this Schumann, which I think is appropriate for Schumann because he's always kind of striving, reaching for something that's unattainable. So
I'm guessing with quartet music that doesn't call for string instruments even, there has to be some type of communication or group dynamic present that goes beyond mere playing ability. And what might that look like, if so?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the things that we do that are rhythmically defined, we have our own ways of feeling the pulse together. And even one of the pieces we'll be doing on this festival, in the end, there's the last part of it, there's no sound at all. It's only gestures. And so, but it's very rhythmic and it's still kind of musical in that way. So we have to breathe together basically, and we can't even see each other. There's a piece that we play in complete darkness in the four corners of the room, but we still have to kind of communicate through sound, purely through sound, with no visual access to each other.
What are those two pieces?
The first one I mentioned is by Mark Applebaum, the piece Darmstadt Kindergarten that we'll be playing here. And the other one is a quartet by Georg Friedrich Haas, his third quartet.
Well, you're playing the Applebaum as part of this year's chamber music series, along with other works, including Philip Glass's String Quartet No. 8, and one with a very interesting title, Horse Sings from Cloud. Are these among the ones you're most excited about? I mean, if you had to pick a favorite, which would you choose? And I realize the answer may be different for you, so John, we'll start with you.
It's hard for me to think about, like, a preference, but I can think about what I'm really excited about with each one. Like, the Applebaum piece is just exhilarating to perform because it's unlike normal string quartet playing. I'm put into this other performance world, sort of theater, which is exciting for me. The piece by Pauline Oliveros is special in a completely different way because it involves more than just the quartet. It involves people making sounds with their iPhones and manipulating those sounds themselves with their hands or their mouths, and potentially moving around the space, and it's quite open and participatory. So the vibe is totally different from any other piece we're playing.
I think I'm also excited about the Applebaum. It often breaks down some barriers, I think, with the audience, and sometimes people laugh, and it's not just that it's about humor, but it kind of breaks a barrier between, like, what a string quartet is expected to do, because we eventually put our instruments down and start translating all of these sounds that we've been doing on our instrument into gestures.
I imagine you have a pretty busy rehearsal schedule coming up for all these pieces.
One of the pieces we're playing here is a collaboration with cellist Joshua Roman. It's a collaboration we've been having for a long time now, maybe like 6 years. And it started with making arrangements of Renaissance music for string quartet plus cello. And then we commissioned a piece, and then Josh decided to write a piece of his own, which we're playing here. It's called Tornado. He's from Oklahoma, so tornadoes are close to his heart. And we've just been playing it this season quite a bit, and it's going to be exciting to play it here.
Well, John, Chris, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time out of your rehearsal schedule to share with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
That was John Pickford Richards and Chris Otto, both members of the Jack String Quartet, founding members of the group, sharing a little bit about what their internationally known quartet is going to do here at Spoleto Festival USA 2018. They're part of this year's chamber music series, performing from May 25th through June 1st, playing a range of works by composers such as Philip Glass, Mark Applebaum, and Doug Balliet, who is the festival's composer in residence. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.